The WNBA begins its 25th season tomorrow, and tonight ESPN premieres a documentary on the league's tumultuous 2020 season. First of all, that season was shortened. 12 teams of 12 players, along with coaches and trainers, agreed to seclude themselves in a COVID bubble in Bradenton, Florida. But were they cut off from the world? No, not by any stretch. The WNBA players were deeply involved in the Black Lives Matter protests that were roiling the rest of the country. The documentary is called 144, after the number of players in the bubble. And joining me now are the film's co-directors, Lauren Stowell and Jenna Contreras. Welcome to you both.
Well, hi. Hello. Thanks for having us.
Oh, happy to have you. And Jenna, I do want to start with you, because to make this film, you had to go into the bubble with the players. What was that like?
Yeah. So, you know, I got the call, you know, late in July of sports were coming back. There was going to be a WNBA season, and it was going to take place in a bubble. And, you know, this was kind of, you know, back in July, the height of coronavirus. We didn't really know what a bubble was, now that we know it so well. There was no talk of a vaccine. So there was a lot of unknown variables. Because of COVID restrictions, we were limited to only being able to send myself, one camera operator named Joshua Smith, and one audio tech named Morgan Worth. And so the three of us, you know, kind of just catapulted down to Bradenton, Florida. And, you know, we had a week of quarantine before we got on a plane, and then a week of quarantine before we were actually allowed into the site with the players. So when we were there, we were kind of, you know, on the same wavelength of what the players were doing. We were taking coronavirus tests every single day. We were eating the same food they were eating in the dining rooms. We were staying in the same lodging areas. You know, like we couldn't leave this campus.
Did it feel safe?
You know, it did. It was almost this weird safety, because you knew that coronavirus, for the most part, was not a factor to worry about. And even because we had something to do every single day, there was a schedule, we kind of got to decompress a little bit from the news cycle.
Well, imagine how the players felt if it was uncertain for you. Here's WNBA Players Association President Nneka Egumike, who's a player on the LA Sparks.
There was concern around coronavirus. There was concern around the intricacies of not playing for 5 months and then being asked to play. There was concerns around the length of training camp. There was concerns around pre-existing conditions, high-risk players to coronavirus. And, I mean, there were so many concerns.
What were the challenges like for the players? Because it was probably physically exhausting to do this.
Oh, yeah.
In the middle of a pandemic.
Right. Yeah. You know, outside world, if you're not an athlete, you're just excited that sports are coming back, right? But I think what was really, you know, kind of underestimated of what the impact would be was the mental toll on these players. These women, they are, you know, at the top of their game in one of the hardest professional leagues to make, but they didn't sign up to play in a single site in a bubble. They didn't sign up to perform every other day.
And what was it, 22 games in 50 days?
Yes. So they were playing 22 games in 50 days every other day. And then you also have to practice. You also have to consider rehab and therapy for any players of, you know, just keeping their bodies and mind fit. These coaches had to change the entire way they've known to coach, because they had to just save the bodies.
And look, let's be clear here. That's not even the most important part of this story. Lauren Stowell, we know what was happening as this season was opening. Breonna Taylor had been killed by police in Louisville, Kentucky. George Floyd had been murdered in Minneapolis. 80% of the WNBA players are Black, and many of them identified with what was happening in this country. Here's Natalie Achunwa on the Indiana Fever. Let's listen.
It really hits home because it could have been me. And that's the hardest part. It's like, it doesn't matter. At the end of the day, I take off this jersey, I'm still a Black woman. So that's where the fight comes from. That's where the passion comes from. Because it could have been me.
What kind of statement were these players making by showing up in this time?
Yeah, I mean, you can hear it there from Natalie. You know, what Jenna discovered as soon as she started doing interviews was that for a league, you know, majority Black women, they had one unifying, you know, goal, and that was to get justice for Breonna Taylor. That was the reason that every player wore her name on their jerseys. And that was, you know, Peter, very real for them.
Was that the real point of this season? The activism and not so much the basketball?
I think it was both. I think that, you know, as we were speaking about earlier, there was this feeling of sports returning and the importance of not missing the season. But beyond that, it was so much bigger than basketball. Every player expressed to Jenna that the platform was important. In this time in America, what everyone was going through, the events that were taking place, the injustices that we were seeing unfold in real time on the internet, it was the reason that they felt the responsibility to take a stand on that platform with the national coverage that they would get by playing.
Right. And the events didn't stop as the season progressed, because in August, Jacob Blake was shot 7 times by police in Kenosha, Wisconsin. And the WNBA players joined the men in the NBA who refused to play several games in protest. And I was surprised watching this film how difficult a decision that was for the players.
Yeah, I mean, I know Jenna can speak to this too. The emotions, as you see in the film, were raw and really unfiltered. There was a lot of conversation. There was a lot of dialogue that took place, not only in the decision to play, but as you saw in the film, also in the decision of what to do next and whether there was, you know, a bigger purpose to what they were doing and how they would make the 2 days that they stopped playing, how would they would make that impactful.
Mm. Well, some of the debate, as you just said, was heated. Here's Courtney Williams of the Atlanta Dream. She's speaking at a private all-players meeting.
I'm not willing to give up my check because that's the only reason why I'm here. We decided to come in and dribble a ball and make our voice be heard. So now we decide we don't want to dribble no ball no more, and now we lose our platform, and now what? Now we're living like boo-boo fools.
Jenna, I assume you were there in that meeting. What did you make of that moment? And I don't know for sure, but I'm pretty certain the men in the NBA weren't having the same kind of conversations about money when they made their decision.
Right. You know, what's so special about the WNBA is that everything that they do, every single move that they make is so thoughtful and intentional and educated. And in that meeting, you know, these are real life issues that they have to worry about. You know, we know about the pay discrepancy problem between professional men's leagues and women's leagues. So this was a real, real conversation of, if we don't play, how are you going to pay your mortgage the next day? How are you going to be able to feed people and your family?
Yeah.
These were real problems that people that aren't professional athletes have to deal with in some type of way. And I think it was important that you see a league of women that are from different backgrounds, from different walks of life, come together and be able to explain their different point of views, take all that information, and then figure out what is best for everyone.
I find it almost remarkable that the sort of the season goes on, right? The playoffs happen. The Seattle Storm, they end up winning the championship. And it was such an abnormal season. What did it feel like for the players who won? Did winning the trophy at the end of all of that come with the same kind of satisfaction?
I'd have to say it probably came with a little bit more, right? You know, these women had the world stacked on their shoulders while trying to perform every night, trying to enact change. Some of them trying to parent from the bubble with their children there, or from the bubble when their children weren't there. And through everything that was going on, they're still there to uplift one another. And that takes a lot of strength. And so I think, you know, there's a great scene in the documentary when in the Storm locker room where they just are screaming like, we're going home. And there's just this moment of elation of it's kind of hitting them that they have conquered everything that they wanted to do. Like, yes, they wanted to come and perform and win a championship. But, you know, they also wanted to hopefully plant some seeds and enact some change. And so it just... I don't think you could ever compare what this season is compared to any other championships.
Hmm. Lauren, what do you think the impact of this wild, unconventional season was, not only on the league and on the players, on the fans? I mean, did it make a difference?
I would like to believe it did. I think that, you know, the circumstances of them being there, having 144 players in one place, it yielded a result that I think even watching it, you know, closely, it was unexpected for me to see how they were stronger together than they were as individuals. And I think that if they had had a season in a normal fashion where, you know, city to city, a traveling tour, it would not have been the same impact of having them all there sharing one experience with one goal. And I think that that message became, you know, a message of unity that was really what we needed. I think we needed it then, and I hope that it's going to be a message of unity that resonates with people right now as we try to put one foot in the front, you know, in front of the other as a country and move forward and become less divided and more, you know, united. That's what I hope.
Lauren Stowell and Jenna Contreras are co-directors of the new documentary 144. It's about the shortened 2020 WNBA season. Fine work of filmmaking and journalism. Thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you so much for having us.